Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Praise the Lord. I love y'all. So glad you're here today. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Hearing a lot of reports, a lot of things happening. I want to start off today, and I want to read to you in John, out of John chapter 16. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says here, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you or give it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say he will take of mine and declare it or give it to you. Help us, Holy Spirit, as we talk about you today and your gifts that you've given us. Talking about the gifts of the Spirit, Jesus made a powerful statement here before he went to the cross. And I believe that, how is all that going to happen? How is the Holy Spirit going to do all that? How is he going to do all that for us? I believe he's going to do all that by using the gifts of the Spirit. They're his gifts. Okay? They're his gifts. Let me read you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking of the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, he's saying, before you were saved, you were just led by everything that could lead you. Every voice, every dumb idol, every dumb voice, you just kind of randomly done. But now you're going to be led by somebody that's going to lead you to Jesus. You're not going to be led astray like that. Now you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, who is the very Spirit of Christ. And he's trying to tell us here that the Holy Spirit and Jesus are one of the same. Now, he goes on here and he says, therefore there are diversities of gifts, or different kinds of gifts, in the same Spirit. There are difference of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities or different kinds of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. You understand? He said there's just a lot of stuff happening, a lot of different things happening, a lot of different ministries going on, but it's all God. It's all led by the Holy Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, I put a little chart on the screen last week. If you've got it, Keith, put it up there. But there's 9 gifts to the Spirit. I've broken them down in threes. That's how they're usually taught. But they're the 3 gifts, the 3 revelation gifts, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the discerning of spirits, we talked about those last week. The word of knowledge, that's a supernatural knowledge that God, the Spirit of God tells you something that you wouldn't have any way to know unless He told you. Then the spirit of wisdom, that often when we get a word from God, then we need the wisdom of what to do with that word. And the discerning of spirits. We need to be able to discern spirits. We need to be able to discern whether it's God or whether it's the devil. We need to be able to discern spirits in each other. We just need to see what these three gifts do is they are access to the mind of Christ, of God. They're access to His thoughts through the Holy Spirit. Now, then there's the power gifts. The gift of faith, we'll be talking about these today, the gifts of healing and the working of miracles. These are access to the power of God through the Holy Spirit. They're an opportunity for Him to flow His power through us. Okay? The revelation gifts are His way that we gain access and we can know the thoughts of God. I hate it when somebody says, oh, there's just a lot of things we don't know. There'll always be a lot of things you don't know, but you know what? There's a lot of things we can know, and the Holy Spirit will tell us. These power gifts, they give us access to where God can flow that power through us. And the three vocal gifts we'll talk about next week, tongue, interpretation of tongues, and prophecies, they're a direct line of communication. They're a way we can communicate with the Father without the devil knowing what we're communicating. That's next week. So, the gifts of the Spirit. Let me point out something as we start here. In verse 7, it says, Paul says that these gifts are given to everyone. See, now I'm not talking about these in relationship to the ministry gifts. Because all the ministry gifts have all these things operating in different ones of the ministry gifts, and we'll get to that maybe next month. But as I studied these growing up in the Lord, as I began to study these, I just knew I was called, and I knew I was supposed to be a pastor. So I studied these in relation to the ministry gifts. And so that's what the body's done for a long time, and we want to see these things operate in a service, and they do, and we see them, and we're going to see them more. But you know, the truth is, God, the Holy Spirit, wants to give these gifts to everyone. He wants them to flow through all of us. And everybody say something. I'm an everyone. He wants these gifts to flow through you. So that we can profit each other. So that we can help each other. Does that make sense? Verse 11 says, the Holy Spirit who works all these gifts and gives to each one of us, everybody say each one of us, quit thinking that all the things of God, that He's going to use somebody else to do it instead of you, because He wants to use you. He's got some things for you to do that nobody else can do as good as you. Says these gifts give to each one of us as He wills. As He wills. So let me read you a verse out of Romans. See, He knows, let me read you this verse. It says, he gives us, He operates these gifts through us as He wills, or as He sees fit, or as we need them, or as they're needed to accomplish in our lives or the lives of somebody else what God's purpose is. Be with me? And in Romans chapter 8, it says this, says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, the part I want you to get out of that for now is the Holy Spirit knows God's plan for you and for me. And he's at work all the time making intercession for us. He's helping us when we don't know what to do. He's praying for us when we don't know how to pray. But he knows the Father, and everything, the Father's will, and everything he does is leading us towards that will. He's praying God's will for your life. Now that's powerful. I want us to begin to know who he is, because he's your best friend. He came to live in you. He'll never leave you. He's here for eternity to live in you. And so Romans is telling us that this is what the Holy Spirit's going to do. He knows all this stuff. So I want him working through me and for me, don't you? And then it goes on in verse 12 through 27, and it talks about the body. It's interesting, we pull these verses out and talk about the body and each of us being parts of the body, but Paul's giving these in direct relationship to the gifts of the Spirit. And what he's saying here is, he says, yeah, we're all part of the body. We're all different members. We're all members individually. We're all here, but we're all different pieces, but we're all the same body. And he just got through telling us about these gifts, and these gifts are to operate through us to benefit each other. And when we become obedient and become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he moves us and flows through us, and every one of us are able to touch each other's life. And when I need something, he's able to use you to help me get it. And when you need something, he's able to help me, use me to help you. Well, and then he goes right on and talks about the ministry gifts. We'll do that later. And they're here to help it to happen. Anyway, gifts of the Spirit. The first one we're going to talk about today, we're on the power gifts. This is God flowing his power through us. The first one is the gift of faith. The gift of faith is something that's given to us directly by the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural faith. Now don't get it confused with our faith, because the Bible says we are all given a measure of faith. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to just kind of tell you about all three of these things, and then I'm going to tell you a few stories and let you pick out the gifts of the Spirit and how they worked in the stories. Is that okay? Because I want you, as we begin to do this, I want you to begin to understand and recognize when these gifts have operated through you and when they operate through you in the future. We're talking about a supernatural faith. Now, we're all given a measure of faith. And as we walk with the Lord, as we develop that relationship with him, as we spend time in his word, that faith that we've been given grows, doesn't it? It reaches to higher levels. And so the deeper our relationship with Father, the more knowledge that we get of him, the stronger our faith is, the higher level our faith, the more our faith grows. Am I communicating this okay? Okay, in the back, nod once in a while, just so I know I'm not barking at the moon here. And so our faith grows, but I'm talking about a faith. See, there's some things in life that we'll come up on that we just don't have the faith. And when that happens, God, through the Holy Spirit, is able to give us a supernatural faith. Have you ever something happened and you went through something, or you accomplished something, or you did something, or maybe you prayed for somebody, you did something, you went, whoa, I don't know how that happened. I've done that before and said, whoo, that sure didn't happen because of my faith. Are you with me? See, I'm talking about a supernatural faith. There's going to be times, you know, like maybe you've been praying for people and you've been praying for them, and you've been getting some folks healed with some flu and some headaches and some backaches, and you've been praying for some folks, and you've been having a degree of success, and man, it's exciting when that's happening, isn't it? And you pray for somebody, they need a financial blessing, and they call you the next day and they say, Oh man, God blessed us, and you've been doing that, and you're doing good and your faith is growing, but then you walk up on somebody in a wheelchair and God says, go pray for them and tell them to get up out of the chair. See, you need a supernatural faith. Huh? And it's real good to let him tell you that too and not just let it be your idea. But you understand, maybe you're facing a situation and you just don't know how to respond, or you don't know what to do. I faced a tragedy in my life once, and I didn't know how to operate. I didn't think I could even breathe. I didn't even think I could take another step. And I didn't know what to do, but something rose up in me that was supernatural faith. And you know why? It got me through. It got me through. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit manifesting a supernatural faith. Sometimes it's to make a decision. Sometimes it's to make a decision and step out and do something. Picture with me, if you will. See, if I'm trying to follow the Lord, then there's going to be all kinds of situations in my life where I come up on something and don't know what's going on or don't know what to do, and times when I need something supernatural from God. And I got to thinking about, picture with me when your child was little and you were teaching them to walk. And they'd take a few steps, and wasn't that an exciting? Now, just be honest with me. Wasn't that an exciting time? And you go, well, look, he took a step. And most of the time we're saying that before they even took a step, you know. But we're so excited about it. And then we put our finger out and let the little grabber hold your finger, and we help them take a few more steps, and they fall, and we pick them up. But picture that excitement. This child is learning to walk. He's growing. He's in that excitement. Now transfer that into God's heart. And that's the way he is with us. That's the way I believe he wants these gifts to operate in our life. He's excited. He says, come on, Polly. Come on, walk. Take another step. Come on, Hanky. Take another step. And we do something, and he's able to do something bigger through us, and something bigger through us. Imagine how excited the Father could get. He's excited in helping us experience life. And he loves for us to come up to a dead end and not know what to do. Because I have to say, Daddy, help me. Help me. You understand? I want you to catch his desire. His desire. These gifts flow through us from the Holy Spirit out of the desire of God's heart to be big in our life. Does that make sense? Anyway, so when this gift of faith operates in your life, you know something happened, man, and you all of a sudden you're feeling strength and confidence and courage, and you don't know why, but it was there anyway. Oh, it's because you got a daddy that loves you. Huh? It's because he's operating those gifts through you. And see, on the other end, well, you can expect that anything, you ought to be growing, you ought to be trying to build your faith, you ought to be trying to get closer to God every second of the day, you ought to be building that relationship. but you walk with a confidence that it doesn't matter what I face. If I don't know what to do, Daddy does. And He'll show me. Okay? Anyway, supernatural faith. And as He takes us, our lives, in the direction that He wants us to go, sometimes things happen. And we need supernatural faith to get through it. Does that make sense? The gift of faith. The gift of faith. What about the gifts of healings? The gifts, gifts plural, of healings plural. Do you know one of the main things that Jesus wants us to do is pray for the sick? That was part of the Great Commission. He said, go tell them about me, but lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Are you hearing me? He wants everybody well. There's never a sickness that He's happy with. There's never a sickness that He caused. Now, one of the main things He wants is for us to heal each other. Pray for each other. So does it make sense that one of the gifts would be the gifts of healing? The gifts of healing. That means that the Holy Spirit can flow through us anytime He wants to, this gift to heal somebody. I got a call to go to the hospital. It's been sometime this past year, and a man was in a coma, and I walked in there. I didn't feel nothing. I walked in there, and this man was in a coma, and his daughter was there, and she was kind of crying, and she said, they said he won't wake up, and they said it's all over, and I don't know if he's saved, and all this, and I didn't even think. I just looked, and I looked at her, and I said, he's going to be okay. Now, I didn't have time to think about that. I just looked, and I said, he's going to be okay. He's coming out of this thing. And if he isn't saved, he's going to get saved. And, you know, and while I'm saying, I'm hearing my mouth say this, but I'm going, what? My mind isn't saying, I'm hearing my mouth say it, and I'm going, what? And so I just went over and prayed for him. And I walked out, and as I was walking out down the hallway, I remember saying, God, that don't have to be on you, because I sure didn't feel nothing. Do you know what? The next day he woke up. A couple days later he got out of the hospital. A couple weeks later he was sitting right over here and got saved. See, I'm not talking about something that makes me or you or anybody look big and spiritual. I'm just talking about something God wants to do. I had very little to do with that. I walked out of there going, man, God, I sure didn't feel nothing. I don't know why I said that. God knew. I'm learning just to shut up. Just don't tell everything I don't know. Just shut up. You know, if you'll just shut up most of the time, God will make you look like a genius. Gifts of healing. We need to stir those gifts up in us. Paul said, told Timothy, said, stir that gift up. You say, what's that? Well, we talk about them, and that's what we're doing here. I'm just trying to talk about these things and stir them up in you. And I'm having people come to me saying, man, I've been going online. I've been listening to Kenneth Hagin teach about the gifts of the Spirit. I've been reading this book about the gifts of the Spirit. Stir them up. Stir them up. As I'm telling you these stories, it's stirring stuff up in me. And I'm going, well, how come you're not doing that today? So I just think I will. Huh? Stir it up. Stir it up. You have to want the things of God before you're going to get them. And not only can the Holy Spirit flow a gift of healing through you to heal you, but he can use you to heal somebody else. Man, you ought to just look at that hand, man, whichever hand you want to use. I use this one because I'm left-handed, but you can look at your right one. Those of you that aren't as spiritual, you can look at your right one. I mean, y'all just look and say, whoo, baby, anybody I touch with you is going to get healed. That's what it says. It didn't say you'd feel goosey bumps or anything else. Man, somebody says, I'm not feeling good. Y'all just look at that and think that and just touch them. He didn't say rub them. He didn't say pray for them 13 hours. He didn't say fast. He didn't say anything. He said, lay that hand on them. They'll recover. Well, I laid that hand on them, God. The other end's up to you, Jesus. Well, gifts of healing. There's different kinds of healings. I've got to hurry up with this. There's different kinds of healings. And I'm going to say this. I believe incorporated in the gifts of healing are the gifts that God's given us through medical knowledge, through medicine and through doctors. I believe that. It's not going to be very many days till somebody, he's going to give somebody a word of knowledge, and they're going to just do this, and have the cure for cancer. Hear me. And as we're teaching these gifts, realize that all these gifts work together. You don't just go, okay, today now I want the word of knowledge to work, God. And well, tomorrow I'll have the word of wisdom. Well, I think next week I'll do the gift of healing. No, they all work together, and they all go as he sees fit. There's different kinds of healings, and you'll notice that there's different kinds of anointings. I've seen some people that had... There's special anointings in different areas. I've seen some. There's been times in my life when I was able to pray for people with backs hurting and messed up, and they'd get healed. There's been other times when I'd pray for something else. See, different anointings. And all you just got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, and I'm going to say this, and this will sound funny to some of you. But one time, I was in Arkansas, one time God said, I was sitting down and talking to him and praising him, and he just took me somewhere real quick, and he said, okay, from now on, for a while, everybody you touch with warts, the warts are going to leave them. You know, I'm wanting some tumors to fall off, you know. And he said, well, let's work on the warts first. And you know what? I didn't know any better. I was a young buck in the ministry. I didn't know any better. And I got up and I said, hey, you know what? Anybody's got warts, I'm going to pray for you and they'll leave. I didn't know any better. I started praying for people. You know, for months and months and months, people's warts would leave. See, I'm talking about gifts of healing. I'm not talking about something you did. And listen, that's not a glamorous ministry, by the way, the wart ministry. I mean, you let a tumor fall off or something, man, that's pretty, you know, but warts, man, you got to touch them things and you got to. I want this to be real to you. That's the only reason I'm telling you this stuff. But different people sometimes will have different anointings for different things. Sometimes the Lord will let somebody specialize in this or in that. But here's our part. Our part is, Lord, I am here. I am a vessel that I want you to use. I ask you to flow your gifts through me. I want to accomplish all that you want to accomplish through me. I might not have a lot to offer, Lord, but here I am. Here I am. And if you want me to heal a wart, I'll heal a wart. Are you hearing me? You understand? The thing is,
isn't worrying about which gifts, but the thing is saying is submitting to God and saying, God, Holy Spirit, help me be sensitive to you. Help me know this, and help me know when it's time for these to operate, and show me how to operate them through. Show me what to do. And you know what? If you're trusting the Lord like that, you can't make a mistake. If you do everything wrong, it'll still work. Huh? Why? Well, because it's the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Now let's get to the working of miracles. This is where you can get into some real heavy, jaw-dropping, knock your socks down in the tips of your shoes stuff, man. The working of miracles. One of the best, and you ought to go online and watch this man in some services. I didn't even know who he was till a few months ago, but his name's Billy Burke, B-U-R-K-E. And you ought to go online and watch some of his services. Just blow me away. If I hear he's on somewhere, man, I just glue myself to it. I record it. I've got one thing of him healing people that I've watched that, I bet, 50 times. But the working of miracles. But I want you to understand, though, this isn't just for us to do in a service. This ought to be happening in our lives every day. Every day. What is a miracle? Well, the dictionary says it's an intervention into the natural universe by God. Isn't that good? Are you listening? Another one is it's a phenomena that transcends natural law. It's a divine act by which God reveals himself to his people. The working of miracles. Well, what's some examples of that? Well, Jesus casting out devils and healing sick folk. But remember what he said? He said, you're going to do the things I did and greater things than these. So let's don't put this off on something that used to happen or something that happens if you're a preacher. Something happens if you're a healer. No, this is supposed to happen. He gives them to all of us. A working of miracles. How about turning water into wine? Would that be a working of miracles? Huh? How about speaking to a storm and it stops? Huh? I've done that one. How about taking just a few little fish and a few little loaves and feeding 5,000 plus people with it? Would that be working miracles? How about going in a lion's den and not being able to be ate? The lions couldn't eat you. Would that be a miracle? How about walking on the water? Would that be a miracle? Working a miracle? Sure it would. But what I want you to start thinking about is what could you do? See, working a miracle is God doing something and him showing you what to do. Him doing it through you. He's not interested in a spirit coming down, and making something happen. He's interested in the spirit that he sent down that's alive in me to do something. See, so I can do what is. You know, I can do that. Let me just tell you some stories real quick. And I told Pam this morning, I said, I want to tell these three stories and I don't know how to tell them. Because what we like to do is when we tell a story, God done something, we like to tell it so it makes us look spiritual. But we got to learn to tell this stuff where it puts the emphasis on the gifts and what the Holy Spirit did. Okay? Because you'll find out that when this happens, if you'll admit it, you have very little to do with what God does. You're just a facilitator. One time in the 70s, hadn't been saved a real long time. I think maybe Pam and I had just gotten married, hadn't been married very long, and it was on a Wednesday night, and back then, you know, we were from the old school. If it was church time, you were there. If the doors open, you remember those days, Paul. And so we had church three times a week, minimum. And whenever you went to church, you didn't leave. You didn't go out in the lobby and pray for nobody. You came in and listened to the word. Well, I get a call. I'm up in the lobby, and somebody calls and comes over to me and says, Hank, there was a family, one of our families in Baxter Springs. They had a son that was on drugs and wasn't saved. And somebody came to me and said, Ed just called and said, man, said, he's got a problem. Said, he wants to know, Hank, if you'll come over there. Well, my first thing is, no, this is Wednesday night. I don't go anywhere when it's church time. But something said, go over there. He said, his son's been in a motorcycle wreck. And so I go to Baxter. And I'm trying to make this real fast. And I get over there. And here's this young man. He's been in a motorcycle wreck. His arm is broken. And you can see the bone. I mean, like this bends here, only his bent here. And it's bent, and you can see the bone sticking up. It's not quite through the skin, but you can see it. And he's got all these problems. And God just spoke to me and said, I'm going to heal him. But said, he isn't saved. And you need to get him saved. And I said, okay. So I began to talk to him, and I asked him if he was saved. He said, no. And I said, well, I said, I'll tell you what, God wants you to be saved. He said, well, yeah, I know. I said, but hold it. I said, he's going to heal you right now just to show you that he loves you. And then you're going to get saved. And anyway, I put my hand on that bone that was sticking up to the skin, and when I put my hand on it, I felt something pop like that, and I prayed, you know, I mean, I'm just still wet behind the ears. I just barely got a haircut, okay, and you know, and I sure don't know what I'm doing, and I take my hand off, and his arm's straight, and I said, well, move it, and he moves it. I said, it's healed, isn't it? And he starts crying. He said, yes, yes. And I said, now, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. And he did, and he got saved. Okay? But I start to leave, and I see this picture of him holding something like a grinder or something, and I'm getting ready to leave, and he says, Hank, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, I just finally got this job, and he had this job somewhere where he physically hand grinded with this big hand grinder walls and stuff. And he said, I'm supposed to go to work. I said, you go to work tomorrow. And I said, you grab that grinder. And I said, you'll grind. I said, you'll work. And I said, you won't have any pain. I said, it'll work fine for you. But I said, when it happens, remember, God did it. He called me the next night and said, Hank, I went to work. I used that grinder. Matter of fact, my arm felt better than it ever felt. I said, who did it? He said, Jesus. Okay, now, just that little scenario, could any of the gifts of the Spirit operate in that? Huh? Maybe word of knowledge. Maybe word of wisdom. Maybe gifts of healing. Maybe gifts of faith, because I sure didn't. I didn't even want to go. Maybe working of miracles. Are you with me? Okay, let me tell you another story. In the mid-90s, I've got a car lot here in town, and I'm taking some cars to Granby to the car auction, and I got three or four guys, and we're all driving a bunch of cars, and I've got one of my old friends that I went to high school with, named Ray Macy, and so we get down there, and so we get the cars to the auction. We go over to the restaurant, and we're eating. Ray goes in the bathroom, and he comes back out, and he says, Hank, I got to get to the hospital quick. Well, you know, he's a jokester, and I'm thinking, man, you know, okay. I go, what's the matter, Ray? I'm serious. And his face was just white, and he said, my ulcer broke. Yeah, I got to get to the hospital quick. Well, we're in Granby, so we jump in my Bronco. I tell the other guys, we'll see you back there. We jump in my Bronco, and we take off. And as we come up, we're coming up through Diamond and that Diamond exit there. And as we're getting closer to that, he starts going, "Hank, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it." And I said, "Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are." And he starts going in and out of consciousness. And then pretty soon, I don't want to be too graphic, but he, blood comes out of his mouth. And pieces of his stomach are rolling down the windshield. Now, I'm going to tell you, you think you're prepared for everything, but I promise you, you're not prepared for something like that. We get to the interstate, and he's going in and out of consciousness, and I'm going, "Come on, Ray, stay with me, stay with me, stay with me." We're on the interstate, we're coming back, and I'm thinking, which is the closest hospital? At that time, it was Oak Hill. And I said, "Man, I got to get to the closest one." By the time we're getting off the Main Street exit, He has went like this into a fetal position and turned blue and quit breathing. The only thing that came to my mind was, "He's not saved." I said, "No, Father, he's not saved." And I hit him in the chest and he went, Now I'd already heard the death rattle. And then he went back. And I said, "No, in Jesus' name." And I'm driving 80 miles an hour trying to get to the hospital. I said, "No, in Jesus' name." And the next thing I remember, we're at the emergency and I get him in. Long story short, he's lost practically all his blood in my car. The doctors said, I don't know how he's alive. He didn't even have a 2-liter pop bottle worth of blood left in him. But I get him to the emergency room, and long story short, he's out of the hospital in 2 or 3 days. They call me back that night and say, "Come back," because all his family was out of town. They call me back, and they said, "We don't think he's going to make it." And before I get to the hospital, he's talking to them. Well, now let me ask you something. Some people say, "Well, he must not have really been dead." Well, I don't know, man. He wasn't breathing and he was blue and all his blood was in my Bronco. I know because when I came to, I was at the car wash washing it out. And so what could have worked there? What could have been some things? Could maybe the gift of faith or the working of miracles? Or, you see, something like that, the only one that can intervene is God. Are you with me? See, now we're talking about the gifts operating through all of us, okay? Now, I told that story to tell this one, and then we're done, believe it or not. I'm at the car lot 6-7 months later. And I don't know, some of you remember when I had the car lot. I was across from the old R&S where Walmart is now and had the whole block. And I was up here on the hill in the office. And one day, there's 4 or 5 guys in there with me, and the mailman comes running up the hill, comes running up there, and he runs in and he says, "We need some help. Call the police. Call the ambulance. We need some help. There's a guy down here having a seizure." And it was down on the corner of 7th and Commercial there. And boy, everybody runs out, and they're running that way, and you know what I do? I'm going, "Oh no, God, not this again." But I'm walking. I'm saying, "Oh no, God, I don't want to do this." And I'm walking, and all the way down there, I mean, it's a long, about a block or so down there, and I'm going, "God, I don't know what to do. I don't want to do this." And then I go, okay. I'm telling you all the little sideline just so you know. You know, it wasn't because of me. I get down there, and there's all the salesmen from R&S have run over there, and everybody's around this car. And I go, get out of the way, you know. And they all get out of the way, and I jump in their car with this. It's a mama and her son. He's probably 25, 30, but he's her son. And the car's going this way. She's right here, and he's here in the center. And I get inside this car with them. And he's turned blue and he's quit breathing. And, you know, I just look in there and I just go, "No, in Jesus' name, you breathe. Life come back to you." And I start putting my hands on him and I start praying. And then I just start praying in tongues. And all the salesmen's harness are looking and go, what's he doing? What's he doing? What's he doing? And one of my guys said there, he said, well, he's bringing him back alive. This, you know, and so I'm just in there and I just start praying in the Spirit, and I do that for I don't know how long, and I'm just praying in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit, and pretty soon this guy's not blue anymore, and pretty soon he kind of moving just a little bit like that, you know, and I just felt like, okay, that's enough, and I just stopped and I looked at his mother. I mean, can you imagine this poor mother? She's sitting there, her son's just turned blue and quit breathing, and some idiot jumps in the middle there and hits her son and starts talking in the name of Jesus, and then starts talking in this mumble-jumble stuff that we don't know what he's doing. Can you imagine this poor lady, what she's thinking? I didn't have time to think about any of that stuff. And I said, it's done, it's enough, and I just stopped. And I looked at her, and I got her eyes right in my eyes. I said, he's okay. He's okay. And I just went on back up. All the salesmen standing there scratching their heads. All the people going. Well, by that time the ambulance had got there, and first the fire trucks came, John, and I said, well, that makes sense. If we'd had a fire, they'd have sent an ambulance, you know. But anyway, now I know there's reasons we do all that, but I just went on back up. You know, hour later. By matter of fact, by the time I got home, I didn't even remember to tell Pam. About a week later, the postman comes running up here with a letter, with a note, and he says, "Hey, Hank, this is from that lady," and I read this letter, and she, there was just a letter. I kept it for a long time. I probably have lost it now, but she just was thanking me. She says, "Oh, thank you for helping my son, and he's okay now, and he's not having those seizures anymore, and he's well, and he's getting his head straight, and you know, and all this stuff, on and on and on and on." And I went, "Well, thank you, Lord. Gifts of the Spirit." See, we're supposed to be walking in a supernatural realm, folks. That doesn't mean you're supernatural. Doesn't mean you're spooky. Doesn't mean you're something, you're God's gift to the world or anything. It just means you're just a vessel that if God needs to do something through, He can do something. Young people, hear this. You don't have to waste most of your life like some of us do. You can get in this program with God right now. Just sell out to Him. Some of you old kids, maybe it's time for us to sell out to Him, you think? Just sell out to Him. Here I am, God. Use me for anything you want to use me for today. You better mean it. You better mean it. Because I like to pray for you if you got a cold. A lot better, a lot more than if you're not breathing. I just want you to understand that God wants to do things through you. Now, you know, I always said I'm going to raise somebody from the dead and all that, all from the time I got saved. I just was blabbing. I didn't have any idea. And when it happened, I really realized that I had nothing at all to do with it. And not only that, but when I wanted to do it, it didn't work. So I'm saying it's God. But what I'm deciding is to get so close to Him that any time He wants to do anything through me for you, I'll be able to do it. Huh? And do you understand? All these gifts, all these things happen so that we can help each other. Huh? See, you can't do it by yourself. We need community, Chris. You can't do it by yourself. And God says, you're all part of one body. You're all different parts. Boy, isn't that the truth? But you're all one body. And we need what each other's got. But what I want us to see here is that God wants us to know. He wants us to know that we can walk in that realm with Him. We can walk in that relationship with Him. And if you understand that all these things operate through us, not to make you a ministry, not to make you a big shot. They're all His gifts are working through us because of His desire to be a part of every bit of our lives. He loves us so much, He wants to walk with us and talk with us and be involved with us. And the phrase that He keeps giving me while I'm trying to figure out how to do these gifts of the Spirit in a different way here, the thing He keeps giving me, I want you to know, I want all my kids to know that they have access to everything I have. That's why I sent my Spirit to live in them. Well, I'm tired, so I quit. Everybody stand. I think it'd be good for everybody here to pray something with me. Just pray it. You can pray it to yourself, but it'd be good if you heard yourself pray it. But Father, I'm a vessel that I want You to use. I ask You to flow through me. Do whatever You want through me. Use me in whatever way You want. You know the plan. Help me be part of the plan. Here I am, God. Don't have nothing to offer, but I give You me. Let me tell you something. That's all He wants is you. There's somebody in here today and you don't know that you're saved. You don't know that you're right. You know, you can start right now instantly walking where we just were talking about. And so we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you don't know that you're right with the Lord, come on down here and let one of us pray with you. Maybe you need to be anointed with oil and you've been sick. We'll anoint you with oil. This says we'll anoint you with oil and the prayer of faith will save the sick. So come down here and get anointed and let us pray for you and you'll be healed. Not maybe, you will be, okay? If you're here and you've been saved and you've never been baptized, we got robes and towels and everything you need. But if you need something today, maybe you just need somebody to agree with you, come on down and let one of us pray with you. But especially if you don't know Jesus now, come on down. Let's sing. One verse.